Okay, let's see. The repeat has never been as sweet. Here we are. I'm Jen.
I'm Jerry.
And we've been having a little technical difficulty, so if we act like or sound like or mention that maybe we've talked about this before, it's because we have. Just not during this recording. So ignore it. Just overlook it. But Hey. So we are doing Johnny Depp co-stars this week. And
yes.
Carrie, you have some news about a bit of a project that made you think of Johnny?
Yeah, so it's kind of come out in the past couple of weeks. There's a trailer for this film called Wonka.
Ah.
And it's a prequel to, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, however you'd like to view it. I don't know. I think they are trying to go towards more the book avenue
right.
than the movies avenue.
Yeah, I was going to say that the two movies, the only thing that relates them, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the only thing that relates them is the subject matter, because they are both different takes on the same book. They are the one is not a remake. It's not a do-over. It's not any of that. It is a different take on the book itself. So,
yeah. And, you know, anybody that's a James Bond fan can appreciate how, you know, many liberties they took with the films versus the book.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that would be a good perspective on it to look at. You know, people don't know necessarily how to handle, how to view this movie. And I say, just let it go.
What?
But that being said, the star, his name's Timothy, what you said is name
Chalamet.
Right. Chalamet?
Yeah. Is what it looks like to me. I mean, I don't want to.
Yeah. And he's a pretty accomplished actor, a young actor that's good looking.
He's adorable.
He's got some chops, and he's got, if you will, kind of that young Johnny Depp vibe.
Yeah, definitely he does.
Hmm.
He really
and
does.
So,
he's a...
I thought that it was really appropriate that it was him that was taking this role.
Right. I'd love to know what Johnny's take on this
exactly.
movie.
Exactly.
That would be interesting.
It would.
I'd love to hear that if he ever decides to mention it anywhere. Okay, you faded out really bad there, babe. You sound like you're coming through a screen door.
No.
That's better. Okay, what was that?
Well, so, you know, we have a writer strike that has come into effect in the past few days, and the Actors Guild has decided to join forces with them on the strike.
So they're joining forces with the writers?
Well, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm presumptive. I would certainly think that Johnny would probably side with the writers and, you know,
I would have
the
to
actors.
Say, yeah, I would have to say, yeah, he probably would.
But we're in danger of possibly not seeing this film anytime soon because they will definitely halt production on this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the writer's strike, I'm certain.
Yeah, and, you know, they're already saying that chances are this Deadpool 3 movie that, in a lot of movies, that we've been anticipating, they will be halted, and there's probably going to be sort of a shortage.
Well, I'm wondering, I know they are siding with the writers. I'm wondering if the Actors Guild may not actually go on strike as well.
No, they are. The Actors Guild is joining the writers.
Oh, so they actually did. They did go ahead, full out, go on strike. Got it.
As of yesterday.
Okay.
And in fact, during the red carpet premiere of Oppenheimer, Cillian Murphy and Florence Pugh made their appearance on the red carpet. It looked fantastic. And then when it was time to go inside, they promptly got into their transport and left.
Oh, man.
Well, so they're pretty serious because a lot of people were kind of riding on Oppenheimer and Barbie.
Right.
You know?
Well, at least we'll be able to see Will Smith in whatever because, yeah.
You can just about guarantee it.
Oh boy. But yeah, I'm sorry, that was wrong. I love Will Smith. I think he's amazing. I think that the little scene that he and what's his name played out was way overdone. And as a matter of fact, it was an actual scene from another movie. So a friend of mine sent me the clip. It's a scene.
Is that when he snapped him?
Yeah. It's a scene from another movie. The words, everything. Everything that the two of them said, every action, it was a scene from a movie. So I don't know what the game plan was. I don't know what the bottom line was. But okay, whatever, guys. I hope you're happy now.
Yep, and you'll reap whatever you wanted.
Yep, pretty much. So, I don't know.
Well, maybe it will, after everybody starves for a little while, maybe it will.
Okay, now you sound like you're coming through an electronic box. I don't know what you're doing, but...
Okay, how about now?
Much better.
Okay.
Now, what was that? One more time.
Some people are kind of rooting for this because there's been a real glut in quality of TV and movies. A lot of people think that a lot of writers have gotten lazy.
Right.
You know, the Indiana Jones movie and the Flash movie.
Yeah, I've heard those were...
You know, you can say what you want about Ezra Miller, and people didn't go and see the movie because of Ezra Miller. It was so abysmal at the box office that it wasn't just because of Ezra Miller.
Right.
It was a bad movie. And apparently the Indy Jones movie was kind of bad. And
I didn't like the last couple indie movies.
Yeah.
Even though one of them starred one of my favorite white-haired men, Sean Connery. I didn't like that one.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was not up to par with Indiana Jones. Sorry.
Right.
Nope.
When the bar is high, you have to continue delivering.
Right. And if you don't, then it's an automatic fail. So, you know. But I have heard nothing new from Johnny or Tom. How about you?
No, that's literally the only thing that was related that I could bring to the table.
Alrighty then. Well, I do know that Johnny took out a small $10 million loan. There was a story in, hang on, one of the little news feeds that I get, there was a story about it. Give me just a second. Okay. No, that's not what I'm looking for. Oh, yeah. Johnny Depp gets a little cash infusion, takes out a $10 million loan to spruce up his West Hollywood castle after spending over $650 million on the litigation with Amber Heard. No, I am not. Johnny has said over and over again, it's not about the money, it's about clearing his name. I would have to say, I mean, I don't want to sound like a smartass or anything, but dude, was it worth it? I mean, really? I mean, I can imagine to Johnny it is. I can imagine to Johnny it is that it is absolutely worth $650 million to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he is not an abuser.
Yeah, right.
You know, the thing about it, the big thing about that is, though, the ones that believed him from the beginning always knew he was not an abuser, and the ones that didn't are still not going to believe him, regardless of what the courts say. So, was it worth it? Question for another time, I guess. But I can certainly, I think Johnny would probably tell you in a quick, fast, in a hurry that yes, it was 100% worth it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only thing that that I had found. And Tom and his family are still laying low, staying out of the spotlight. The child is damn near a year old now. Wow. You believe that?
Wow.
No.
Yeah. September.
Wow.
September or October. Was it September or October?
Surely it was not. No, actually, I do believe it was October.
But still, child's what, 8 months old now? Good Lord. He'll be walking and, you know, ready to drive his dad to work pretty soon. If he's got his dad's height, he will be anyway.
Yep.
And, you know, Zoe is no small potato. She's not some tiny little thing either. You know, sure. she's got some height on her too, so.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, so I can't wait. And the two of them are both so pretty. I can't wait to see what this child is going to look like. You know, I can't wait to see once they do finally present this child to the world, what they're going to look like, you know, and as they get older, if they start acting, you know, which direction are they going to go? Are they going to do like dad and do the weird, you know, crazy kind of irreverent movies, or are they going to go and, you know, do the be the solid, upstanding stage actor like mom, you know?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what's in this child's future. Obviously, they're going to have an amazing one. I'm going to go ahead, and we don't get a lot of response from our different avenues, but I'm going to put this out here, and I'm going to put this out here every podcast until there's some kind of announcement or someone, you know, spills the beans on. So place your bets, male or female. Did Tom have a little Tom or a little Zoe? So, Carrie, what do you think?
Can I do a split? Can I do like a 65-35 split?
Okay, in favor of?
I'm going to say 65% male.
Really? Now, see, I was going to go the exact opposite direction.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to say that I would just about bet that Tom had a little girl.
Okay.
And, well, I mean, he's going to be protective regardless. That's just in his nature. But the amount of protection this child has been seeing over the last, you know, since its birth, indicates to me that's female. Men like Tom are automatically more protective over women than they are over females than they are over males. Automatically. But that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. So guys, send us an email, drop us a line on the phone, visit our blog, let us know. And matter of fact, Carrie, do not let me forget, don't let me do it. As soon as we get done recording, post on the blog, vote here, male or female.
Okay.
And I will do that so that we have a centralized little area.
Excellent.
That anybody can go and post their vote if they decide they want to.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And I will remind you, yeah, this must be done.
Yes, it must be done.
Yes, it must be done.
Absolutely. But enough about Tom. Today, we are talking about Johnny and Johnny's co-stars. Now, there are so many. Yes. It's not quite the Marvel Universe. It's not quite, you know, pick a star and I guarantee you I can relate them. You know, like it is with the MCU. You know, I can think of several stars that have never acted with Johnny that I would love to see, Elizabeth Taylor being one. Now, Johnny was able to sit down and talk with her on several different occasions. She ended up being a very good mentor for him. But as far as acting together, they never did.
Right.
And I think that's a shame.
Yes.
But,
yes, it is a shame. Oh. Man, there's still plenty of time.
I'm not. Elizabeth Taylor has retired, and for good reason.
Okay, true.
But yeah, that's one that I would have loved to have seen. And, you know, hey, give me a time machine. I'd have loved to have seen Elizabeth Taylor in her prime with Johnny in his prime.
Well.
That would be a movie for the ages. That would rival The Tourist with him and Angelina Jolie.
Yes. Yes, that'd be up there with that. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So you've had a chance to look over the list, right?
I have.
Okay, who would you have to say is probably one of your favorite co-stars? It doesn't have to be what movie they were in with Johnny, but just the star themselves. Who's one of your favorites as far as who's on the list?
You know, I'm going to kind of start with, and I think it's probably a seminal pick. And this does kind of harken back to the Elizabeth Taylor days, and it's really cool that he worked with this actor, but I'm going to go with, this is so ridiculous. I'm going to go with Jerry Lewis.
I was actually thinking the opposite side of that coin. I was thinking Faye Dunaway.
Well, and we got to see him do, you know, chores with Faye Dunaway on three different, I think, projects. So at least, you know, we got some mileage out of Johnny and Faye Dunaway.
Two different movies, Arizona Dream and Don Juan DeMarco.
Yeah, and then the video for Great Wide Open. But
Oh, right. That wasn't on the list. I didn't put that on the list. Was she in the video for Great Wide Open?
She was kind of the landlord / fairy godmother.
Ah, okay.
They granted all the wishes, and they filmed that. The reason a lot of that came together was because she was filming Arizona Dream with Johnny.
Ah, all right. Well, that makes perfect sense now. Okay.
And Tom Petty had commented that it was probably the only time, I think, besides the Don't Come Around Here No More video, he's like, I was absolutely completely fulfilled by a video to one of my songs. I was very satisfied with it. And it was because of the story. And it was Faye Dunaway and Johnny Depp. He's like, you know, people came up to me and said, that was such a good video. And the story was so thorough.
Right.
And you could have made a movie out of that video with Johnny Depp and Faye Dunaway.
Oh, yeah. And then they turned around and did Arizona Dream.
Yeah, and then you got Arizona Dream, which was completely different, of course. That was a wacky-ass movie.
Never seen it.
Yeah, I remember seeing it on HBO at about 2 o'clock in the morning in 2003.
You even remember the year?
Yeah, I remember what I was doing.
Oh, wow.
So I equate that with, yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah. So what were you doing?
I had just started getting seriously into dating my ex-wife, and she was moving to Mobile, and when she had moved into this apartment, they had HBO, and we were kind of hanging out and watching movies.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are sweet stories.
Yeah.
No, one that I knew was on the list because I actually caught the movie he's in with Johnny.
Okay.
But had I not seen that movie, I'd have been surprised. Forrest Whitaker. Now, I've loved Forrest Whitaker from the get-go.
National treasure.
I love him. I think he's an amazing actor. He's just incredible all the way around. And I'm flipping through. As a matter of fact, I was spending the evening over at Barry's. Because I would do that from time to time when I wasn't living there. I would spend the night over there, and then the next day I would get up and clean his house. He would pay me. He would get a clean house. I'd get to use the cable and the internet and all that kind of good stuff. It was a win-win.
Yeah.
So, yeah, right. But yeah, so I was flipping through it, like, as you said, at like 2-3 in the morning, and I see Forrest Whitaker, and I don't recognize the movie, and then I see Johnny Depp, and I'm going,
what?
What? Wait, hold on. And I hit the guide button. I did not know this movie existed until then. It's called City of Lies. And it is the docudrama of the investigation into Biggie Smalls and Tupac Shakur's deaths.
You know, and this movie has gotten a lot of play recently on this podcast.
It has.
I think this is the third time that we've talked about this in the past month and a half.
Oh, yeah.
It does seem to be kind of this more recent gem that's kind of flown under the radar.
It's like a lot of Johnny's movies. It was not well received. And I think that was more because of the content than because of the acting.
Sure.
I'm sorry. They have built walls to block any truth finding when it comes to those two deaths, Biggie's and Tupac's.
Yep.
And I'm sorry if you can't tell from my voice, I'm a Southern white girl. Okay, I did not listen to rap back in the 80s and 90s. I do listen to some. I never listened to Tupac. I was not big into the gang style rap.
Right.
I didn't listen to Biggie. But I'd like to know the truth. And I think those that are at fault should have to pay. Regardless of who the two men were, they were taken outside of their time. And those responsible should be held accountable. Which is the whole point of this movie. Although they have to sell it as a docudrama and not a documentary, because they have suppositions and they go over their suppositions as to who was ultimately responsible for the men's deaths. But there's no proof. There is no definitive, and no one will ever be held accountable. Not in this life. And I'm sorry, but I think that's a very sad state of affairs. Because they pretty much know who did it. They just can't prove it.
Well, yeah, frankly. And you know, they kind of can't.
No, they absolutely cannot. There's been too much of the evidence, even immediately following the men's deaths, was hidden, walked over, ignored. So, yeah, there's absolutely no way to prove anything now.
You know, a couple of points about that. Number one, when you think about Forrest Whitaker, and you're so spot on about Forrest Whitaker, he kind of seems to be another equivalent to Johnny Depp. He does take on some really, really cool and unusual roles.
And a lot of roles that if you were only looking to advance your career, would be a dead stop. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, no, there's integrity.
Right. He definitely goes for the roles that speak to him, that mean something to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and he made that comment about this movie, was that when he read the script, there was absolutely no way he could pass it up.
Yeah. And Forrest Whitaker, same way.
No, that's who I was talking about, was Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, well, I think that Johnny, when he read, you know, Black Mass.
Oh, yeah.
I got to do this.
Mm-hmm. It's a story that needs to be told.
Yes. I bet those two got along incredibly well as artists.
Oh, I bet they did too. I could just see the two of them going out and drinking the night, you know, the rap night, the rap party. I could just see that shit.
I could, you know, Forrest ended up later getting involved with the Star Wars franchise, and so he ended up getting into the Disney thing just like Johnny, and their careers paralleling like they did. You know that they had some really interesting conversations.
Oh, man, yeah. I'd fly on the wall. I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
Exactly. I agree.
Okay. Did anybody on this list surprise you? Did any of the names on this list surprise you?
Well, you know, I'm still going to fall back on Jerry Lewis because that does still blow my mind. I mean, that's crazy.
But, yeah. And Jerry Lewis was, I mean, he was the icon of his time.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I remember being a kid, and I really looked forward to the MDA telethons.
Right.
You know, that's what I actually remember him from.
But yeah. Well, I mean, I probably have never sat through an entire Jerry Lewis movie. But I do remember the MDA, the telethons. I remember the promotions. I remember the charity work. I remember the voice and the face.
Yeah.
You know
and as far as co-stars that surprised me, and this I think is more testament to the actor, but I had to be re-reminded when we were doing some research a little while ago, and below, Paul Rubens was in that.
Yes. Yeah.
Paul Rubens, and that's a hell of a pair.
Yeah, Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, that I was like,
Yep, he was the one who was, he was like, oh, you know, let me see this shit. It can't be that great, you know. Real good, good stuff melts at this temperature. Real good stuff melts at this temperature. Wait, it's like twice that. Wait, it's like three times. Holy shit. Oh my God, can I try some of this?
Yeah, from what I understand, like, Paul Rubens maybe was kind of into that kind of thing.
Oh, you know, God, yes. So, he had to have been.
We were actually maybe seeing Paul Rubens being Paul Rubens.
Yeah. You know? Oh, like when you finally got to see Cheech and Chong actually being Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
You know.
Because
Cheech Marin has gone on to do a lot of very wholesome roles.
Oh, certainly.
But no, nothing beats going back to the old movies and seeing when Cheech and Chong were actually Cheech and Chong.
Yep.
You know, they would, and that's, God, I wondered how these two got started as far as how these movies got made and that kind of stuff. So I'm going to have to do the research because I have a gut feeling that these two just went, hey, grab a video recorder, man. Let's do some of this shit. Yep. Send it in, and they went, oh, man, people would love this. They would pay to see this. Hey, call those guys up.
You know, I know they both independently got their start doing stand-up comedy, and I can't help but think that there was one key night where they ended up probably smoking down and riffing and going, we can make a franchise out of this.
Oh, right. Now, on a related...
Yeah, you know, Paul Rubens has had a very interesting and surprising career. And so, you know, when you just see Paul Rubens' name pop up in just about anything, you're like, well, this is going to be interesting.
Right.
And then you add Johnny Depp to the mix and you're like, oh, well.
Yeah. Add Johnny Depp on top of it. You're like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But yeah, Paul Rubens, you know, of course, he did get his start doing Pee Wee Herman. And then he got busted. Oh, please, come on. He was spanking the monkey in the middle of a theater.
Yeah.
It was in the middle of a theater of a porn show.
Yeah.
And he got busted doing what guys do when they watch porn. Really?
Yeah. And gentle listener, you know, keep in mind, this is before the age of internet porn.
Oh, no, this is back when you could still go into the live shows and put a dollar in the little thing, and the window would slide down, and there's a piece of glass between you and this girl that's taking her clothes off and doing various things, and you only have a limited time, and then glass, the partition slides up. You have to put more money in to be able to continue watching.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, it was rough out there.
I mean, you know, it's not like you've got OnlyFans now. You just put your credit card in, and continue watching. But hey, same thing. One of the names that surprised me, and I had to double check to make sure that it wasn't a mislisting.
Okay.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Okay. Okay. This is a whole, okay. You and I need to dedicate an episode to Trump the Art of the Deal.
But it wasn't Trump the Art of the Deal.
No,
No, Ozzy was in Sherlock Gnomes.
I thought that he was in Art of the Deal.
No, we need to dedicate an entire episode to Sherlock Gnomes.
You ain't lying. I know that everybody was in that one.
Oh my God, let's see. Let's see. Give me a second. Sherlock Gnomes, we've got.
Yeah, sorry. Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal, the movie, was a bunch of other people.
But that was The Art of the Deal. You had Michaela Watkins, Jack McBrayer, Patton Oswalt, Alfred Molina, Henry Winkler, Andy Richter, Stephen Merchant, Ron Howard. Yeah. You had a shit ton of people.
Sherlock Gnomes, you're right.
Sherlock Gnomes, okay. James McAvoy, Emily Blunt, Michael Caine, another one of my absolute all-time favorite actors, Ashley Jensen, Maggie Smith, the immortal Maggie Smith. Y'all probably know her from Harry Potter. She played Professor McGonagall. Then you've got Matt Lucas. I need to do some research. Is that like George Lucas's son?
Nope. Actor, no relation.
Actor, no relation. Okay. All right. And then you.
Stephen Merchant was
in. Yeah, Stephen Merchant. Then you've got Ozzy Osbourne and Mary J. Blige to round up the cast of characters here.
Let's get all the talented musicians to do. And that counts Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get all the talented musicians to do. Sherlock Gnomes?
Right.
Anyway.
And the movie that followed after Sherlock Gnomes, there was another name that it surprised me, and then I had to double check to make sure it's who I thought it was.
Uh-huh.
Zoe Kravitz.
Okay.
That is Lenny Kravitz's child.
That's right.
And, yeah, because for a minute I'm like, no. So I had to go look.
I'm kind of not surprised.
And she is beautiful. Oh, my God.
She's beautiful, and the young lady has got some acting chops. She's done a lot of very amazing critical movies.
Oh, yeah. And her acting, you can't. No one can say that she ever got anywhere on her name alone.
I agree. I can't, that she might be the poster child for the 21st century of success stories. Maybe you could say Kate Hudson.
Or the poster child for you don't have to rely on your parents.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's precisely my point.
I mean, between her and Lily Rose Depp.
Lesser.
There's several others that are, you know, the children of well-known stars. He was in The Boys.
Oh, yeah, Jack Quaid.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a hell of an actor.
And actually, Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's son. He's got some amazing acting chops.
And who is that?
He's what?
Who is that? I'm trying to.
He was he's been in several movies. I mean, he's got his own career, certainly, but we would know him as the pretend Captain America / U.S. agent from Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I never saw that one.
Yeah, and that's their kid. And you know what? He looks like a perfect mix of those two actors. Definitely got his dad's physicality, though. But he seems to be kind of making a name for himself.
And he did not rely on his parents' name.
And you said the kid played who?
In Falcon and the Winter Soldier, one of the major characters was this guy that took over the mantle of Captain America, that took the super serum, but it made him crazy, and he ended up killing some people in like a fit of rage.
All right, I'm trying to find, I've got the cast of characters listed here. I'm trying to find him, but I'm not seeing a last name I recognize. Wyatt Russell? Would that be it?
Yep.
He looks just like it. Oh my God, he looks like both of them.
Right? But he works out a lot.
Oh, he's pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, he is pretty. Oh, who is Desmond Shea? Huh. I'm gonna have to do some research on that one.
You really should.
Oh, yeah.
I think you would be happy.
Oh, looking at his picture makes me happy.
And you know what? To his credit, he was a huge highlight to that series because he made that a very sympathetic character. And he did go into a crazy rage and killed some people trying to live up to the Captain America name because he knew the pressure. You know, they were kind of doing that whole the pressure of the fame and
right.
The next guy.
Right. I mean, have you ever, I mean, we've discussed this before, Carrie, but have you ever really, because we talked about fame, would you really want to be a superstar? Everybody automatically says, yes. No, you wouldn't. You want the money. You want the power. You don't want to be the star. You don't want people following you all the time. You don't want all this. Same thing with being a superhero. Would you really want to be a superhero? I wouldn't. Absolutely not. There's way too much pressure for that.
You know, people say they do, but I think they subconsciously are like, but you can turn it on and off, and you just can't.
Right, and that's just the thing, is no. It's like Midas's golden touch. You know?
Correct.
He ended up turning his daughter to pure gold because he touched her. You can't just turn it off and on. It's something that's a part of you. Yeah, you learn to live with it. But that doesn't mean, I mean, no, I would not want, I can't think of any superpower I would want all the time.
Yeah.
Now, I mean.
Johnny doesn't want it.
Oh. Man, I've asked this question to everybody. What superpower would you take if you had to take one? What would you want?
Right. Are you asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you. What would you want?
Well, I have my answer, but it's not a good one. It would be mind reading, but I would hope that I could turn it on or off.
Yeah, see, mine would also be mind reading, but I would want world domination. I'm not shy about it. No, I would want to be able to read people's minds so I would know how best to manipulate them.
Yeah. Yeah, mine would be 50-50, you know, and it would also be, do they really, really like me? And you would probably be disappointed.
Well, see, that's the whole thing is, yeah, I would not want to have that. I would not want that to be turned on all the time. I say often, I don't give a damn what people think. And for the most part, I don't. But that's because most of the time people keep their opinions to themselves. There's no way that I could handle being bombarded with, oh my God, it's that fucking bitch again. Are you kidding me? Man, would she just go so, I really can't stand her. Yeah, no, I would end up losing my mind.
Yeah. You don't want to wait tables with that power.
Actually, no, that would be an amazing power to have waiting tables.
Pardon me.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I am out of step. You're right.
Oh, think about it. No, see, you wouldn't want that power around the other wait staff.
Right.
Because you would be the one that they're like, oh, no, I'll wait. I want to sit at her table. Well, she's full. Well, I'll wait.
Yeah.
All the other waiters and waitresses going, God, will that bitch just fucking clock out and go home?
No, I've got one that I'm really intrigued by.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if either of it, I haven't seen this film. You know, you were talking about City of Lies, and that was a great, more recent pick.
Okay. What you got?
And I was looking over Waiting for the Barbarians, and I know all about it. I've read the wikis on it. I would love to watch Waiting for the Barbarians. And I almost want to name off Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, go ahead.
But in 2021, apparently, and you're the one that's the current events leader.
Okay.
He did a movie called Minamata.
Minamata, yes.
With the great, amazing Bill Nighy.
Yep.
First of all, I would love to see what that professional relationship was like. I think it would just be great to be in the presence of Bill Nighy.
That's not the first movie he did with Bill Nighy. Bill Nighy was Davy Jones in Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's what I meant. Just like Jeffrey Rush. I forget that Jeffrey Rush is in there because of the prosthetics.
And all the makeup and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, Bill Nighy did Pirates of the Caribbean, and he did Django.
Oh, for God's sake.
Rango, sorry.
I would love to start this recording over. So, obviously, these two have a rapport.
Oh, yeah. The Pirates of the Caribbean scene where Davy Jones is standing there in the bucket of water because he can't be on land because it's not his 10 years.
That's right.
He's standing there in his bucket of water. So they're recording this scene, right? And Johnny goes, wait, how'd he get here? What?
Yeah, he just kind of popped in over here.
How'd he get here? He's like, he can't walk on land. So who put the bucket here? How'd he get in the bucket? You think people aren't going to think about this? They're like, we're hoping they won't, Johnny. Just record the scene. And Bill is friggin' rolling, laughing, going, I've asked them the same things. They won't answer me either.
Like, true story?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Bill Nighy is going, I've asked them the same damn things. They won't answer me either.
Both of those guys would be amazing at Dungeon Masters. I would love to actually do a D&D game.
I'm sorry, you're going D&D. You said Dungeon Master, and my mind automatically went, never mind.
Johnny is the Dungeon. Okay.
Yeah. Johnny's definitely a switch.
Oh, very likely.
What?
Very likely.
Oh yeah. Yeah, everybody, y'all all keep saying Tom is a sub. I swear to God, he's a switch.
I'm very sure he's at the least a switch.
Barry's kid and most of Barry's friends say that, yeah, Tom's a sub. Although I could see it. I mean, he's got the position down pat. You see it in the Loki series.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That doesn't come from a vacuum.
Anyway, sorry. They would be great Dungeon Masters, you were saying?
Yeah. Well, because they put the forethought into
how did they get here?
You have the actor, I guess you could say archetype, where they're like, what's my motivation?
Right.
Why are we doing this scene? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you know what? Sometimes people mock it, but we don't think about it. But really, really, if you're an actor that's sharp and you're on the scene and all of a sudden he's in a bucket on land, you really do have to be like, you know,
how did he get there?
Interrupts, but wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. And if you think, because I thought the same thing before I saw that interview when they talked about that particular scene. I often was like, okay, did they just put the bucket there and then a couple of guys carry him across the land? Doesn't that count as him being on land because he wasn't technically in the water? You know, how does that work? You know, so yeah, I mean, I thought the same thing many times.
Do you think that Johnny's like that often?
What, that he thinks about the where and the when and the why aside from what is given? Yes. Oh, yeah.
Do you think that Tom is?
I think...
Or does he just roll with it?
I think Tom would probably be the one to question before you ever got on the set. Like, he would read the script and be like, okay, see, this scene says this, but that doesn't make any sense with this, this, and this scene. So why this? Why now? Why here?
Yes.
You know, I could see Tom doing that.
Yeah, the super prep.
Oh, yeah. Well, seriously. Are you kidding me? For his role in High Rise, he spent 2 weeks shadowing a coroner at a hospital.
We need to do a show where you and I discuss these movies that we haven't seen that need to be put on our individual watch lists.
Okay, how are we going to discuss them if we haven't seen them?
Well, because that would be part one. I mean, you know.
Oh, like expectations and what we've seen in trailers.
Yeah, you know, okay. And admittedly, you know, we're doing this podcast about these two fantastic actors. There are some movies, I admit, that I haven't seen.
Oh, I will have to say that.
Talk about the cast. I'm not going to tell you whether or not I think it's good or not, but there are some. We should really kind of talk about the fact that there are some great movies here, and I know all about these movies, but I haven't seen them. Well, and I know they're great movies.
You said that you had never seen Waiting for Barbarians.
Yes.
Okay, I tried to watch it. I did. I had it on Amazon Prime. I keyed it up. I could not do it. The scene that introduces you to Johnny, he is this military higher up colonel, captain, somebody, I don't know.
He's a horrible person, right?
He is a horrible person.
Right.
And they are looking, the barbarians they're looking for are the Indians. They're this particular tribe of Indians. Well, they capture this man and his nephew. Well, his nephew is mentally deficient. Okay? He's got the mind of like a 3 or 4 year old.
Yeah.
The man is full grown. But his mental capacity is much, much less. Well, he is also very, very sick. And they're questioning the child on where the rest of his tribe is. Well, it's a nomadic tribe. So after they split off to go try to find a doctor for this kid, they're going to go back in the direction their tribe was heading and hope that one of them find them. They don't know where they're going to be. They don't know where they're at. They have no idea. They have no clue. It's obvious they don't know. Well, when they realize that the kid does not have the mental capacity to help them, they then start torturing the child in front of the uncle.
Right.
To make him talk. Mm-hmm. And Johnny comes out and he's like, it only took a couple of hours. It wouldn't have taken that long, but we had to be sure. You know, we got all the information we needed. And if it turns out that it's untrue, then we'll finish up by killing the uncle, but we need to go ahead and bury the nephew. Because they tortured the child to death in front of the uncle to get him to talk about something he had no idea about. He had no clue. So obviously he had to make something up. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to stop them. And they still ended up killing the kid anyway. And I mean, just the pure, off candid way that the child's death was spoken of. The just as if these were not even animals. These weren't even really alive. Right, the whole, that was the whole feeling. I couldn't watch it. It was too much. To watch a movie like that for me would be difficult, in the very least, to start with. To see Johnny portrayed. Okay, Black Mass was hard. Black Mass was hard for me to watch. I watched Black Mass all the way through. I couldn't watch this.
You know, I hope that the trial hasn't interrupted his output. And, of course, it certainly has. But it seems like towards the end here, and maybe during, Johnny was taken on, you know, Body of Lies, or City of Lies.
Well, the thing about
Mass, he was taken on some tough, like, this ain't Willy Wonka. This ain't Edward Scissorhands.
At the same time, I can see Johnny wanting to take on that role in Waiting for the Barbarians, simply to push himself, to see if he could walk into that role as he has so many others and become the part. And that's the thing. He did. He became the part so well.
Of course, that's him.
That I could not separate my Johnny Depp, the actor that I absolutely love, with this cold, heartless, uncaring, unfeeling, damn near demonic individual.
And, you know, maybe this is a hot take, but one of the reasons I think I prefer Johnny over Tom, which I love Tom's work.
Oh, yeah.
But Tom hasn't taken on roles like the ones we've mentioned in the past couple of minutes. You know, I would love to see Tom be just a total military cunt.
A total bastard.
Yes.
The closest he ever comes is when he plays Thomas Sharp.
In the Del Toro movie.
And, in Crimson Peak. But but even there, the character itself, okay, the only problem with Thomas Sharp is Thomas Sharp was weak.
But he was charismatic.
But he was weak.
Johnny and Barbarians was not looking for a charisma score.
Oh, no. He had a charisma of like 6.
Right. Oh, wow. You were okay.
Okay. Dude, look. He was impressive to look at, but you wouldn't want to take him home and put him on your shelf, if you get my meaning.
I got it.
You know, but Thomas Sharp was weak. That was his biggest problem. He let his sister run his life. He let his sister decide everything that happened. His sister is the one that killed everybody. His sister is the one who seduced him. His sister is the one who wouldn't let him go. You know, he just went along for the ride.
Yeah, it seems like Tom, when he takes on quote-unquote villain roles, he does it, but the guy has an excuse. Johnny's straight up like Whitey Bulger.
Johnny's straight up, I'm a bastard and I know it. Kiss my ass.
I'm going to hell. It's not a problem.
I'm going to hell. They're delaying because they think I'm going to take over. But yeah, Johnny, straight up unapologetic. I have no excuse and I don't need one.
Yeah, I really kind of want to watch this film.
Oh yeah. It's like I said,
it's on Prime?
I couldn't watch it. I couldn't. But
you can watch it on Prime though.
At the time, yeah, this was like a year and a half, about a year and a half ago. So
I'm intrigued. I'm gonna check it out.
But yeah, I'll look it up, see where we can find it. However, we are fast approaching the end of our podcast.
Quick.
Wait.
Let do like a fast lightning round.
One thing I was gonna say, there's two that we have not mentioned that we have to mention.
Yeah, I agree.
And they are. Come on, Gary. Who are they?
I'm going to go with, and it sounds kind of crazy. I would say Tracy Ullman, but it actually makes sense. And that was Into the Woods. But right. I'm going to go with same film, him and Chris Pine.
Huh. Actually, no. There's two that we have not mentioned that we absolutely have to mention in association with Johnny Depp. Two females that we have not mentioned that we have to mention. Mm-hmm. Christina Ricci and Winona Ryder.
Well, I guess I was talking from surprises, but you're talking about, like, the great...
I'm talking about just co-stars and these two. We are almost at the end of our podcast, and we have not even mentioned them. But there again, we've also done shows. We did one show on Christina. We need to do one on Winona.
We mentioned Winona plenty because of their interpersonal relationships, too.
They were only in one movie together.
Yeah, and I guess it was the inseparableness of their Hollywood couple.
Yeah. And she's the reason he has Wino forever on his arm.
Mm-hmm. They were the original, like, you know, you had Brad and Jennifer.
Brangelina, you had...
Right. But they were kind of the early one.
They were the power couple.
Yeah.
And hey, I've said it before, I'll say it again until it happens. They both need to ditch whoever they're talking to right now and get back together. Girl, you are way too old to be worried about what daddy's got to say anymore. Go find Joe Johnny and both of y'all be happy.
I like to think that Winona's a very progressive and super complicated individual that doesn't necessarily need a man to love.
No, but her and Johnny were so perfect together.
They were.
The only reason she broke it off with him was because her father thought that it would be bad for her career, and he convinced her that she was too young to be considering any kind of serious relationship, let alone being engaged, and that the best thing she could do would be to break it off. She was supposed to play June in Benny and June.
Wow.
But her dad talked her into breaking it off with Johnny, and she could not bear to be anywhere near him. If she was near him, she wanted to be with him, and she couldn't. So she dropped out of the project.
Yeah. Well, you know, that ship has sailed.
I don't think it has.
I still kind of think that Winona and Keanu Reeves would have probably been a better match. Uh-uh. But
no, hey, since when has Keanu ever been able to take Johnny's place?
Oh. All right, fair and very good point.
No. Actually, I don't think that ship has sailed. I think those two are going to end up together. Simply because they met at the wrong time.
Yeah.
I think they're going to end up together. I think they're going to end up... Something's going to happen. They're going to be in the same place at the same time. Maybe this whole Beetlejuice reunion thing. But they're going to be in the same place at the same time. And sparks are going to fly. And it's going to be like, you know what? No. This is it. Done.
Yep. That would be actually a really cool and fantastic Hollywood fairy tale.
Well, that's what Johnny's been looking for this whole time. That's why he can't ever find one that sticks, is because it's not her.
You're not wrong.
I know. I'm quite often right. Mm. All right, guys, on that little bit of a note, let's go on ahead and go through our contact information. Remember, on the blog, I'm going to have a post. Vote. Tom Hiddleston, did he have a little Tom or did they have a little Zoe? We're going to put that on the blog this evening, so go ahead and check it out. Look for it. That would be DeppHeadsHiddlestoners.com, or you can go to BarryReese.net and click on the link. We've got the email, which is DeppHeadsAndHiddlestoners, all lowercase, no spaces, @yahoo.com. We've got your information, Carrie.
So, Mako3303, no spaces, @hotmail.com, and on PlayStation Network, Traveler2300, no spaces, 2 L's, and I do suspect that our mystery admirer that I touched on
and this is just a theory.
Right.
We're starting to collect some lore. It is a user on PlayStation Network called Dictator Killers.
Huh.
That I don't play a whole lot of games with. Like, we don't have any games necessarily in common. But when we started releasing the information on my PlayStation Network, started just kind of hitting me up and pinging me.
Nice.
And he is a European user. And I think that's another reason that we haven't been able to get a live call in.
Right.
Because he's on the other side of the planet. But this individual won't leave me a message on PlayStation Network. I think it's just kind of like a kindly ping.
Right. It's a I'm checking to see if you're around kind of thing.
That being said, publicly, and I'm going to leave a message on PlayStation Network, I will give this individual a $25 Sony PlayStation credit of $25 if they just talk to us and come forward.
Wow. Okay, yeah, guys. So what's the name again?
Dictator Killers. No spaces, but the D is capitalized, and Dictator and Killer is the K, and Killer is capitalized.
All right, guys. So if that's you, if you know who that is, shoot him a message. Hey, dude, it's worth $25 to you just to get in touch with us and actually hold a conversation.
Or lire, or
leave a message.
Pesos. I think pesos is strictly Mexican.
Actually, no. Pesos is also Filipino.
Oh, well, you know what? Actually, I will give the equivalent of 25 USD.
No matter what.
Yeah, whatever that is. It's cool. $25, which, you know, if we're talking Mexico or any other province versus the US dollar, this could be bank.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, it certainly could.
$25 for me, but to you, maybe it's 120. I don't know.
And speaking of our dedicated phone line, we have that number is 949-373-5476. Leave us a message. Tell us who you want to talk to. Me, Carrie, Barry, any of our other guests that have been on the show. We've got Mickey, we've got Faye, we've got London. There's been several others, but let us know who you want to talk to. We're still in contact with pretty much everyone who has ever been on the show. We'll get them the message and we'll make sure you get a call back one way or the other. Let us know when a good time is to call you back. Let us know what time zone you're in. And we'll go from there if we don't answer straight out, because most of the time that phone is answered. When it rings, it's answered. So yeah, there's that. Let us know what's going on. Give us some contact. We'd love to hear from you.
Yep, we would.
So, until next week, I am Jen.
I'm Terry.
And adios, guys. We'll see you next week.
Love and peace.
Peace and love. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.